Welcome to episode 302 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. We have a special guest joining us tonight. American Cruise Lines is a family-owned company that truly lives up to its name. From ships built at their own shipyard in Maryland to employing American workers and offering 35 opportunities to explore America's waterways, American Cruise Line offers a unique, world-class, small ship experience right here in the U.S. With more people than ever searching for opportunities to explore a bit closer to home, we thought it would be nice to take a deeper dive into all American Cruise Lines has to offer. Joining us today to share her knowledge and passion for American Cruise Lines is Faith Alshorn-Selk. Faith Alshorn-Selk is an accomplished writer, speaker, and trainer who followed her heart into the travel and tourism industry after a successful career with Nordstrom. As business development manager with American Cruise Lines, she enjoys applying her skills to promote exploration of the beautiful USA via its many waterways in supporting the success of travel professional partners, especially as she once sat on the advisor side of the desk. When not traveling, Faith has a penchant for collecting both classic cars and rescue animals that her family sometimes finds alarming, but mostly supports. So thank you so much for joining us today, Faith.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
So to get started, let's talk about what makes American Cruise Lines an all-American company. Can you kind of elaborate? I went over a little bit, but can you kind of elaborate
Absolutely.
On that for us?
Absolutely. I would love to. So we are truly the American success story. Founded over 30 years ago, it is a family business. Our founder has designed most of the ships that we produce. And as you mentioned, Lindsay, we own the shipyards. We own everything in this company, soup to nuts. So from building the ships in our shipyard in Salisbury, Maryland, all the way through the sailings, it is all American Cruise Lines running the show. And on that note, of course, that means we're hiring American labor, we're using American steel, we're paying American salaries and benefits. So we're really living up to our name. And personally, as you mentioned, having come from a company like Nordstrom, also family owned and run, that made me really happy to join this company. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, it sounds like there's quite a few opportunities. I mean, I've been aware of your company for a while, but I didn't know exactly how far American Cruise Lines kind of stretched from sea to shining sea, I guess you could say.
Can I tell you a secret?
Well done. Sure.
Until I was looking at joining the company, I had no idea either. So when I was an advisor, for whatever reason, I ended up doing a lot of FIT foreign. I wasn't doing a ton of domestic stuff and no one was really inquiring about domestic cruising. So I was familiar with the company on a surface level. And then when the opportunity arose to perhaps join the company, I thought, boy, I should probably know a little more about this group. And so I did my due diligence, and that's when I learned how broad the spectrum is of the way you can explore the U.S. aboard these beautiful small ships. We are from coast to coast and on all the major waterways in between. So we blanket the eastern seaboard with our small ship coastal cruisers. We're on the Hudson River for fall color. We're all up and down the Mississippi, as few as four nights, as many as 21 if you are a diehard. And then off the Mississippi, we go east to Pittsburgh on the Ohio River. And
Pittsburgh!
Just standing.
I didn't even have to bring it
We're
up.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then east also on the Cumberland, we depart from the Ohio at Paducah, Kentucky, which is fun to say, and head out on the Cumberland to Nashville, which is such a popular destination now domestically and such a fun city. And then in the Pacific Northwest, we're on the Columbia and Snake. We do the Puget Sound and the San Juan Islands. And we even, the best kept secret probably, is that we do Alaska in these small ships. So what an amazing way to see that stunning scenery.
Are they the are all of your ships running now?
We have been ready to sail again since the middle of June. We are champing at the bit to go. We're really restricted at this point by the states and the decisions that they're making with ports, and whether they're deciding what phase cruising is in, phase one, phase two, phase three. And in fact, we were ready to cruise the Columbia and Snake in the middle of June, and 24 hours before sailing, we had made arrangements with some alternate ports all along the Oregon side of the river, slightly modified itinerary. We were so excited and our travelers were so excited to go. And 24 hours prior to sailing, Oregon's governor said, maybe not. So disappointing, but we are still anticipating sailing this year, perhaps by the end of this month. That's our goal, to get back to the waters as soon as possible.
I've heard really good things about that itinerary on the Columbia and Snake River.
You know, I have yet to be able to have the good fortune to sail it, because as I mentioned, I'm a little bit new with the company, but I have driven the full length of it. And if the views from the water are anything like the views from land, and I'm sure they're far more stunning, it's amazing. But yes, we get tremendous feedback on that. And we have people do it multiple times, actually.
Very popular with wine enthusiasts.
Yes, because we have themed sailings, wine and food sailings. We have Lewis and Clark sailings. So there are things to appeal to different folks along the river.
So you kind of touched on it a little bit. Like, can you share a little bit more about that small ship experience? I know we've all kind of become enamored with that idea, and even more so now than ever,
right?
The idea of being on a ship with fewer people.
Exactly.
It's very appealing.
Yes. So our ships range from 90 to 196 passengers. No ship carries more than 200 passengers, and they are quite spacious. On average, pre-COVID, we accounted for 350 square feet of personal space for each passenger at any given time. And because once we can sail again, to your question, Donna, we will be sailing less than full, no more than 75% occupancy. That ramps up actually to 450 square feet of space. And we have never on our ships had theaters, casinos, that kind of thing. So the spaces that we do have as shared space are quite generous and open. There are indoor and outdoor lounges as well. There's indoor and outdoor dining. And then, of course, speaking in general to the small ship experience, it really is an intimate way to see the world around you. Number one, you're up close and personal with the scenery, but also if you're someone who likes to make friends, this is an amazing way to do it. And you find friends who share your passion for travel. I have to tell you, my very first day with the company, I spent flying from the West Coast to Providence, Rhode Island, to do a ship tour, have lunch aboard the ship, and do a shore excursion with our travelers, just so that I would have a feel for the product itself. And that was on one of our coastal cruisers, of course. And at lunch, we sat with a couple of different couples, and it turned out that one was on their fifth sailing and had already booked their sixth. The other couple was on their fourth and had already booked their fifth. And indeed, they had met while traveling aboard our ships and became fast friends, even though they live in different parts of the country. And now they book their travel together with us. So things like that happen when you're aboard a small ship. You have much more shared experience. I think it's very, very enjoyable. As well, it makes it a high touch, not in the COVID sense of touch, service experience, and a very personal experience aboard the ship. Everyone gets to know everyone else.
Sounds fantastic. So as far as like life on board, so there's no casinos or anything like that. So what is that type of, what do people do?
So on a lot of time is spent off the ship, truthfully, right? Because we're porting every day and experiencing the destinations through which we're traveling. However, on every sailing, we do have an onboard historian and or naturalist. If it's a themed sailing, they're going to be keyed into that theme, of course. For example, we have a Lewis and Clark expert on the Columbian snake when we're doing Lewis and Clark. We have a wine expert on when it's wine. Revolutionary War, Civil War, all those kinds of things. But in any event, regardless of whether it's themed or not, there is always a specialist aboard who is talking with our travelers about what they're seeing and experiencing. Why are we stopping in the next port? What's important there? What might they want to do or see? That kind of thing. And then as well, in the evenings, we do bring on very well-recognized local talent to perform for our guests. And that's accompanied by what we euphemistically call a cocktail hour. However, I can tell you, having experienced it, starts at cocktail hour. It starts a little bit before dinner, have your cocktails, some appetizers. Then it just never ends until everyone goes to bed. So the drinks of your choice flow all night long, whether that's an adult libation or something else. And typically, if we don't have something that you're accustomed to, by the next port, we will have it for you. If you ask for something and we don't have it, it will be provided for you. So it's not certainly Broadway show style entertainment. As you can imagine, the scale of the ships wouldn't allow for that in any event, but it is a very nice way to round out a full day of sightseeing, relaxing with your fellow travelers, perhaps talking over what you did that day, but also enjoying, for example, my sailing on the Lower Mississippi was a music-themed sailing. And so we had performers indicative of the music of the area coming on, of course, but we also had experts talking and telling us the history of the music that developed along the Lower Mississippi. So it's very interesting.
So who do you think would love this experience? What's your kind of target? Who sails typically with you?
It's interesting you ask that because a few years ago, I would have told you we skew a little bit older than European river cruise travelers. We largely appeal to folks who are well-traveled and may have been there, done that, and are now over the long-haul flights. And like most of us, I know I've been guilty of saying this, I'm going to explore the U.S. when I'm too tired to go overseas, right? So I would say that. However, what I can tell you now is even in the shows, the consumer events, where I was talking to our potential travelers face-to-face before everything shut down, I was getting a lot of interest from folks that I would tell were younger than our normal demographic. I would say, I'll be honest with you, you're a little young for us. And they would say, oh, well, first they'd say, no, I'm not. And I'd say, I think maybe you are. But what's interesting is they're attracted by our diverse itineraries and the interesting destinations that maybe they haven't even thought of exploring here in the U.S. So we are getting younger and younger in terms of our demographic. But for anyone who has an interest in traveling in this manner, this kind of comfort, unpack once, all of that kind of thing, age doesn't really matter. I can tell you that's the person to whom we most appeal. But as long as you know going in that there aren't going to be wild parties, most people are pretty happy. And it's really the itineraries that draw our travelers to us.
I can imagine so. Right now, everyone seems to be drawn more toward the smaller ship and spending longer time in port and really getting to experience the destinations. And I can see what this has really grown as an appeal to quite a wide variety of ages. So you and I had talked a little bit before about, American Cruise Lines is the first cruise line company to bring the modern river cruise experience to the U.S.
Correct.
So can you talk a little bit about the differences in those ships?
Absolutely. I would love to. So we have three classes of ship, and the modern river ship is what we're going to talk about first, because it's top of mind. It's our newest product. Our founder, unfortunately, has passed now, but his sons are now running the business. But he designed these ships. And when he did so, we were running the classic sternwheelers on the rivers, which we still have. And I'll talk about those in a moment. But he really wanted folks to have the open, airy, sunlit, modern river ship experience here on the American waters. He also wanted to incorporate some of the great features of the sternwheelers. So, for example, the bow ramp that you're used to seeing on a sternwheeler that you drop down onto a levee or a riverbank. Our ships, interestingly, have a patented bow mechanism that opens and allows us to pull out a bow ramp. So we can stop anywhere along the rivers that we're exploring if there's something worth seeing and it's safe, and let our passengers out regardless of whether there's a dock. In fact, when I was on the lower Mississippi, the river was really high. And in Natchez, we didn't even use the dock. I watched the crew tie off to trees that were submerged in the water. And we pulled out the bow ramp and disembarked that way. And it was really a lot of fun. But these ships are really meant for, not meant for, but they will appeal to folks who have had that river cruise experience abroad, perhaps Europe or Southeast Asia, something like that, and have become accustomed to these open, airy ships. So we have two of those on the water now. A third will be launching in just a couple of months. And then we have two online to come out next year. So by then we'll be a fleet of five of these. Now, accompanying those on the rivers, we have our classic sternwheelers. So think turn of the 20th century, nostalgic, little bit of a Victorian, maybe a little more frills and furbelows aboard, some bunting, things like that. And they'll have the classic sternwheeler bow ramp that you can see out on the ship. And we have at any given time two of those on the Mississippi and two on the Columbia and Snake. They are all, with the exception of one ship, new builds though. So they are ships that we built in our shipyards, none of them older than 2012. The only exception is the smallest one, the Queen of the West. That's because she was the only ship out there available when we were looking to add ships that actually met our company's criteria for purchasing an existing ship and refurbishing it. None of the others available lived up to our standards. So we have three that we built and the older ship that we completely refurbished in 2012. And then for the coastals, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way up to Bar Harbor, Maine, and on the Puget Sound and the San Juans and in Alaska, we have a fleet of small ship coastal cruisers, fully stabilized for open water sailing should we need to, but we always stay within sight of shore. We're never too far afield, but those ships are fully stabilized, so it will be smooth sailing. And they remind me of, honestly, a very nice, very large, luxurious motor yacht. So they're quite pretty as well.
Can you talk about the Alaska itinerary a little bit?
I can. We have a few different Alaska itineraries. We have a one-way that is either Seattle to Juneau or reverse, and that's a 15-day sailing. So that might be on my bucket list, you never know.
Yeah. 15 days for one way. That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, of course, it's inside passage. We're hitting small, unusual ports. As you might imagine, in ships like these, to be able to get up close and personal with that scenery is pretty amazing. And we're one of the few companies permitted to go into Glacier Bay and stay overnight and really get up close. So we really had high hopes, honestly, this year for sailing Alaska, because if you can imagine without these ships there at all, what it would be like. So it's disappointing that we're not going to be able to do that. But, you know, Alaska is quite stringent on their allowances for COVID testing. And we decided, unfortunately, it would just be too much burden on our travelers to ask them to comply with all of that. It would not be a valuable experience for them at that point. But then we also have round trip Juno sailings. So my favorite part may or may not be of those, the fact that we have a hot chocolate bar up on deck when we sail through Tracy Arm and into the fjords. And, you know, it may or may not be pure hot chocolate in your cup. It's all around you.
But I would love you just to- said my, you just took my number.
Yeah, I recommend Fireball and hot cocoa personally. While you're sitting on the deck looking at those beautiful glaciers and fjords. So,
So that hot cocoa bar, just to go over it for anybody who might be listening that's not kind of familiar with all that's included, what is included in a typical American Cruise Line? Would I be paying for that hot chocolate?
No, or? Of course not. We are highly inclusive. So our fares include, obviously, your sailing, all your meals and beverages aboard, beer and wine at lunch and dinner, the cocktail hour, cocktail evening, whatever you'd like to call it, that hot cocoa bar, any snacks you'd like, your gratuities are included, your shipboard Wi-Fi is included, twice daily stateroom touch-ups are included, all kinds of things. So really the only thing not included in the fare is... You want to start over?
No, it's fine.
The only thing not included in the fare would be port fees and expenses. So when you're looking at that fare, it is highly inclusive. And on select itineraries, it will include all of your shore excursions. And those itineraries would be everything along the Mississippi, the Columbia and Snake, and Alaska. As well, on those same itineraries, with the exception of it being Alaska out of Juneau, not Alaska out of Seattle, you will also have a pre-night of hotel in the departure destination on a complimentary basis. So for folks who may be looking at departure dates on the Mississippi, the Columbia and Snake, and Alaska out of Juneau, know that you would actually come in a day before that sailing date, enjoy the destination of departure, have an overnight in a premium hotel centrally located in Departure City, and then you're seamlessly transferred. We've launched a coach program, a fully branded and wrapped coach service that paces with the ships up and down the rivers. So you would be transferred seamlessly aboard one of those coaches from the hotel to the ship for your departure.
We talked about the age range, and obviously you're going to some places that have some great outdoor activities and some more active activities. Is that anything that you do offer, knowing that you normally have an older crowd?
I am really glad you asked, because I probably would have forgotten to say it. So, to be honest, we've just added 55 additional shore excursions offering a greater breadth of activity level. So we may have everything from a walking tour of the port city that you're experiencing to kayaking with the orcas. So there is a much broader variety of shore excursion than we were offering, and a greater variety of activity level included in those. So it will appeal to a more broad spectrum.
Yeah, because my uncle's in his 70s and he bikes 50 miles a day.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, he leaves me in the dust.
Good for him. And we don't have bikes aboard the ships yet. That is a question we have asked, and we'll see if those come to fruition. But there would be opportunities in certain ports to do something like a biking tour or a Segway tour or the appropriate, whatever's appropriate for the destination that's a little more active. I really like the idea of the kayaking excursions.
Yeah, that's actually one of those things that's sort of a bucket list for a lot of people. If you're going to go to the Puget Sound, that's up there, you know?
Right.
So for sure. Absolutely.
A kayak. I live here and I live in the Puget Sound and I still have not
Well, a kayak. Yeah, because you live there. As soon as you move away, you'll get it.
Sometimes we ignore what's in our own backyard.
Exactly. I need to get on a ship to really appreciate where I live. So
we can help with that. I know.
So I have a small group, and I just have to share with you how fun it's been trying to explain the cocktail hour. In parentheses to my ladies who are booked on a round trip out of New Orleans on the America.
Well, and what I can say too is that wine that gets opened at lunch, usually there are open bottles and those just get moved up to the lounges. So really, there's really never a no. And at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., we have fresh hot cookies that are carried around the ship on a silver tray for anyone
who wants
to enjoy them. I have to say, my husband was lucky enough to be able to accompany me on that Lower Mississippi sailing. He got to the point where he was like, isn't it cookie time?
Cookie o'clock.
So that actually transitions very well into one of the most important questions. I'm glad that we talked about cocktails before food, because usually we do it the other way. But cocktails are obviously the most important thing. But can you talk about the food a little bit?
I can. So everyone's a foodie anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And we are well aware that food and beverage are such a huge part of the travel experience. They're markers of the destination that you're visiting. So we are really all about bringing that locavore experience aboard our ships. So obviously we have chefs on every ship. Everything is cooked to order. So we've never had buffets. There is a seated dining period for every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a window. We call it open seating dining. And what that means is it's completely flexible. There's plenty of room in our dining areas to accommodate everyone, even with social distancing. So there are no worries there. And we've added outdoor dining space, as well as we always had room service available for breakfast. But now, should travelers wish, due to the pandemic, they may have room service for any meal of the day if they would like to, if they prefer to stay in their staterooms. However, open seating dining means you can come in anytime during that window of service, sit anywhere you wish with whomever you wish, order whatever you wish from the menu. There are always multiple choices for each course. And you can look at that, you can get a peek at that menu for lunch and dinner when you're having breakfast as well. So you can kind of have an idea. You can either pre-order it or you can have an idea of what you might like. As well, I learned, sadly, too late in the game. Well, after my first day when I stuffed myself, I learned that you can order a half portion, which is very nice in case you want to experience either a little bit lighter serving, or you'd like to experience some of a couple of different kinds of things that we have on the menu. But for example, on the Mississippi, you'll probably experience beignets and jambalaya. In the Northeast, you're going to have a lot of lobster. And then in the Pacific Northwest, you'll probably see beautiful slabs of salmon along with, you know, chicken, beef, that kind of thing. So the dining experience is very nice because it's very relaxed. And that is the whole vibe. Oh, Donna, I'm sorry. Did you have a question?
I do, actually. So how do you handle like allergies and things such as that?
So food allergies. Absolutely. So because everything is cooked to order, that's no issue. We can accommodate everything from keto to gluten-free to food allergies. Because our chefs are shopping in the destination, getting fresh food and produce every time we're ported, it's not a problem. And folks can meet with the chef. They can, of course, note it before they travel. But if they wish to, they can meet with the chef and discuss their limitations and restrictions, and we'll be happy to accommodate those. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
I have a question about the time in port. So if you wanted to have dinner like in Memphis, can you do that? Or like how long are the port days, I guess?
It just depends on the schedule for that given day, but there are some where we are in port quite late. Yes, and you could, if you wish to, do dinner off the ship or go out for your cocktails and or go out again after dinner on the ship, that kind of thing. So it just depends on the individual sailing and the tides and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So one thing I noticed when I was looking at options for a client of mine was that you guys do something that a lot of the other ships sailing in the U.S. don't typically offer, which is you do have some daytime sailing.
Mm-hmm. We do.
In particular in some ports. And I just want you to talk about that or note that, because it's something people ask for, but it's not something that's always given.
Right. In the scenic parts of the rivers, of course, we would like to sail during the day on occasion so that folks can enjoy that. We have very comfortable outdoor spaces, and even we have a dining area called the Back Porch Cafe on most ships, where we grill burgers and dogs and make pizza and have ice cream and that kind of thing. And folks love to sit out in that lounge area outside, have their snack or their lunch, and really just watch that beautiful scenery go by. As well, on the top deck, we have comfortable lounges. You can get service up there for food and drink if you wish. And we even have a putting green where you can practice your short game if you need to.
Oh, wow. Only your short game.
Only. Yes. Now I'm hitting it to another ship.
But you know, I'm a poor golfer. I'm a golfer. And I always like to remind folks that on sailings like our historic South and Golden Isles, you don't have to participate in any of our planned shore excursions, right? You don't have to on any of our sailings. You can go off and do whatever you want in a given port, but on an itinerary like that, if you're someone who has a special interest like golf, those courses that we pass through in that area are amazing, right? Iconic. And we can help you make arrangements if that's something you want to partake of on a sailing like that. So the nice thing about American Cruise Lines is you can really make it your own personal experience. That's what I like.
We talked a little bit about the personal space, but that isn't necessarily calculated based on the stateroom. That's general. So can you talk a little bit about the accommodations? And maybe, I'm sure that probably the closest most of our listeners are to understanding what we're talking about would be like European river cruising. So maybe comparing a little bit there, what the accommodations are like.
We're just a little more generous. Yeah, absolutely. We're just a little more generous than those ships. So we do have the largest staterooms on the waters of the U.S. Number one, we have no interior staterooms. So no 80 square foot Harry Potter's cupboard under the stairs that we're going to make you stay in. Some of our ships do have windowed cabins, but they are large picture windows. And the vast majority of our cabins are balcony. So on the new modern river ships, they are all balcony cabins. We don't have any windowed cabins for guests. So when you see windows, if you look at those ships, when you see the windows down along the lower section of the ship, they are all either public spaces or crew spaces. When you're sailing on one of those, you have a balcony. And when you're sailing with us and you have a balcony, it's always a private balcony. No one's going to power walk through your morning mimosa while you're sitting there in your robe. So that's comforting. But the staterooms do start at 249 square feet or so and go up from there. We do also, unusual for a river cruise line, have dedicated solo staterooms. They are a little bit smaller, but still quite comfortable. And that's because we know that not everyone has someone with whom to travel, but they shouldn't be punished. So we have solo staterooms at solo rates. And there's an allotment of those on every ship. So
that is awesome.
Are
That's
really amazing. Quite comfortable. Sure. And the bathrooms are very generous. I was quite impressed.
So do you have, like, I know we talked a little bit about the sailing that you went on, but do you have like a dream or a favorite itinerary of all the ones that you guys offer?
I do, honestly. And it's, I'm probably finding the death knell for me ever getting to Germany because it's limited availability. But for me, I think it's so unusual and unexpected. I would love to do our Hudson River sailing. It's a fall foliage cruise, 7 nights round trip New York City. So I would want to bookend it with a New York City break on either end, at least one, if not both ends. But we do Sleepy Hollow, where the Legend of Ichabod Crane was written, and we see, you know, Lyndhurst Manor. We go to West Point. We have a guided tour of West Point with the cadets drilling. We go all the way up to Albany and Troy and come back down. And the Hudson River Valley inspired a whole school of artists. It's just beautiful. And we stop at the artists' homes, the president's homes. Both my parents are New Yorkers, so I have a weird affinity for New York, even though I'm California born and bred, but both my parents are New Yorkers. And so I think that's just such an unusual itinerary, and we are the only line that does more than a day cruise on the Hudson. I would love to do that. Like I say, I may need to be a full fare paying traveler in order to secure it because it's limited availability. Beyond that, I do think the Cumberland out to Nashville would be fun as well. Just something different. It's St. Louis to Nashville. Nashville is such a fun city, and that's a part of the country that I haven't seen a lot of. So those are probably my two.
A lot of music history out.
Yes.
On that absolutely. One, that would be great.
And I've been to Nashville, but I feel like I barely scratched the surface when I was there.
So much fun to think about all the waterways in the U.S. that, I mean, honestly, you say river cruising in the U.S. and everybody's like, oh, the Mississippi. That's like,
yeah,
it's going to be the Mississippi.
That's how I was.
Yeah. Exactly. And and if you're not really into Civil War history or plantations or whatever, and especially if you want to travel in the summer and you live in the mm-hmm. South and you understand what that means, that it's not appealing. So it's great to think about all the other alternatives there are in the U.S. And the Hudson River Valley, I'll just give my own personal plug because I had not been there before. And my sister lives there now. And we just drove up there. Uh-huh. We were just there a couple of weeks ago. And I went for Thanksgiving last year. And it's so different. Like seeing it in the summer versus seeing it in November. And as we were driving through to her house, it was like, we need to come back in October. This is amazing. I can't even imagine. And it was sort of this hidden, you hear about it, oh, the Hudson River Valley. Or, and I grew up going to New York very often, but usually the city on Long Island and not that area. It's just mm-hmm. so gorgeous. So gorgeous. So don't tell anybody and maybe we'll get to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll, now that we all want to.
Our little secret.
Well, I should have mentioned, there is one, we have a brand new itinerary that I do find fascinating because I have traveled the Eastern Seaboard, but it's been land travel. We have a new itinerary called the Cape Codder that is just that. And we have a couple of other East Coast island itineraries that look really appealing to me. So if I had to choose a backup for the Hudson.
Okay. You guys do Charleston, South Carolina too, right? In like an intracoastal waterway.
We go all the way down onto, I always joke, we do the Great Rivers of Florida, which I feel like if you asked a Floridian, they'd be like, but on the St. John's and the intracoastal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really some nice options down that way. And Charleston, of course, is beautiful.
Yeah, I have family such a great Charleston. City. Yeah.
I know you touched on it a little bit, but because of the times that we're in, did you want to go over the protocols that you guys have in place now?
I would love to, because
a new world we live in.
Yes, exactly. And it helps to set folks' minds at ease, right? To know that we have a whole plan in place. So I'm going to touch on some of the more introductory things, and then I'll get to the big, big thing that I think is key for us that I'm so happy about. We are sending out PPE kits to our travelers in advance of their travel. So if they don't already have a full complement of personal protective equipment, we are providing them with that as well. Of course, our staff and crew will be implementing the same, as you might expect. Our already pretty stringent cleaning protocols have been ramped up. I can tell you, every time I went up and down the atrium stairs on the ship that I traveled on, someone was mopping or wiping down the handrails. So I can only imagine what it's like now, because we are all over that. We are testing. We have the capability for shoreside and shipboard testing. As well, we've developed a partnership with Vicand Company to provide onboard medical staff. So we will always have an RN or a certified EMT traveling with us. As I mentioned, we won't be sailing full when we resume sailing. And what that means is we will have space should we have something come up of any kind aboard, any kind of an illness, we would be able to isolate someone. And when I say isolate, this is the big dog I'm getting to. I mean isolate, because one key feature that our founder / designer insisted upon, which was so farsighted, is that there is no shared ductwork from the public spaces or other cabins and your cabin on our ships. Every stateroom has its own independent HVAC system with its own ducting. So you're not sharing air when you're in your cabin with any of the other public spaces. So I think that's huge.
That is.
It really gives you peace of mind that when you're in your cabin, it's just you and your travel companion, if you brought one, who are breathing that air. And of course, if you have a balcony cabin, like on the ship that you see behind me, you can open it up and get that beautiful fresh air in. But that does also mean, as I mentioned, that should something happen, should someone show any kinds of symptoms of any kind of illness, we could easily isolate them until we could get them to a hospital. We are also partnered with hospitals in every port so that we can make a seamless transition should we need to do that. And I think I mentioned the enhanced spacing on dining, the availability of room service for all meals should passengers wish. Obviously we never had huge shore excursion groups, but they've been halved in terms of our planning for those to allow for social distancing on the coaches and all of that. So we have taken some really serious steps to make sure that we are prepared to move forward in light of our current situation.
Now, you did mention your you and a travel partner. Do you have any accommodations that actually have more than two people per room?
We do. We can accommodate three in some staterooms, and on some ships we have adjoining stateroom. It's just most typically two.
Yeah. Or just one, because I want to. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. And please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. A big thank you to Faith for joining us. And on behalf of
thank you
so much for coming. This was fantastic.
Thank you. It's been really such a pleasure. It really has.
I can't wait to sail with you
guys. Me either.
On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.